We're recording from the JCon Real Estate Summit in Staten Island, July of 2026. And we're going to be catching up with dozens of entrepreneurs.
Wow, so many people.
Big crowd.
Yeah, amazing.
Business owners, mortgage brokers, people that have good ideas to share on this show of Mind Your Business. All right, just some B-roll. We're not talking about anything intense now. It's just easy. How are you enjoying the drink?
It's pretty intense.
All right, back to work, Cirilli. Come on. Okay, well, 1 second. Cirilli, stand back. Wait, no. Now, Cirilli, careful. You're a little bit in harm's way here. I'm catching up with Meir Teichman, one of the brains behind JCon. Are you going to try to get into the Cirilli? Let him see that. Okay, here goes. Okay, let's see. Ah! Meir, you did it. Lamais, we have to give credit to this booth because this is Queen Lighting. Shkoyach.
Sure.
And now I'm catching up with Mike Grossberger from Mavarico. Shalom Aleichem,
how are you?
Please share with us. First of all, what industry are you in?
So we are in the appliance industry, whether it's retail or multifamily, new construction, rehab projects, unit turns, any appliance related needs, people reach out to us.
I'm going
to
ask you for a secret for success. What is something you could share? Like, they're going to say, this guy, Mike, share a secret for success.
So Baruch Hashem, we've been in business for 5 years now, and I don't think it's a secret. I think it's a yesod, a fundamental. It's always do right by your customer. Customer's not always right. For the most part, they are. But you always have to do right by them and stand by their side.
Mike, great advice. Hatzlocha rabba.
Hatzlocha. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. It's the caterer. Get on camera. All right, now I'm at JCon. This one's going to be fun. This is with a very special dear friend, Rev Shimon Kol Yaakov. Now, the whole world talks about how he gets people onto the internet to spread their Torah. But now I have the schus. I'm interviewing Rav Shimon Kol Yaakov. Shimon, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Excited to be here.
So tell me, like, I don't know, where do we start when you talk about Torah Anytime? Where do you start?
We're celebrating 20 years since Torah Anytime started. And we never had as many users as we have now, even more than during the lockdown, during COVID.
I mean, how many Talmidei Chacham are sharing Torah on Torah Anytime?
We have well over 1,000 speakers. Someone,
1,000 speakers.
Everyone. We have an entire kids section called Story Anytime right here. Story Anytime. We create our own original content for kids of all ages. You know, some people are not happy with us. They say, Shimon.
Oh, how can you say that?
Yeah, because they say, after 120 years, you give us no excuses. We have the website. We have the app. We have the hotline. And we're even coming out with a pocket device.
Unreal.
No excuses.
Rav Shimon, we just have to end off with a hug.
Absolutely.
Yes, continue that slocha rabba.
Amen. V'chein l'mor.
Amen. And chazaka baruch.
Rokim to you.
It's going to be fun. All right, now I'm catching up with Morty Latty of Ice Cap. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. We're here. It's summertime. We have a bunch of beautiful people in the room. Buzzing away and doing business. So I'm happy. I'm happy to see
you. All right,
this.
Morty, I'm going to turn to you now. You need a great tip for the listeners of Mind Your Business. Share something that's like, whoa, everyone's going to say, Morty, he's a bright guy.
So the greatest business advice I've ever gotten actually came from my mother.
You're going to hear something good.
Yeah, always listen to your mothers. And you know what my mother told me? And it was a very, very simple recipe to success. It's not something that's going to blow your mind, but it'll blow your mind because it's so simple. Take it day by day. Steps day by day. Take things day by day. Before you know it, you're going to have something amazing behind you. And this is advice I've received 6 or 7 years ago.
I got to be honest with you. Did you listen to it when your mom said it? Or it took years later? You know, mom was right.
You know what? In the moment, you don't listen. You're like, what are you saying, mom? Yeah, what are you saying? But you look back and you see, take things day
mom
by day.
Mom was right.
Mama's right. You take it day by day, and here we are today.
Morty, hatzlacha. What's the website of your company?
IceCapGroup.com. It's IceCapGroup.com. If you're a broker, it would be informative to you. If you're an investor, it's informative to you. If you're somebody that's wealthy that wants to park some money in our fund, it's informative to you. So check it out.
Got it. Hatzlacha.
Hatzlacha rabba. Thank you for your time.
I'm catching up with Frankie Hernandez from Arc Mortgage. Of course, everyone has seen that. You've seen the building when you're driving on the thruway. Frankie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Alive and well.
He's right. He's right. If you're alive and well, you're doing good. Frankie, right. Share with us a tip.
Sure. One piece of advice I like to give to everybody I meet. Life is about experiences, right?
whether it's good or bad, everything levels you up, whether it's bad or good experience. Like I said, if you think of a video game, you think of leveling up your character, XP is XP at the end of the day. And so you always want to put, you always want to tackle everything and put your best foot forward. Like I said, bad experiences.
He's a bright guy. What is the website of ARC Mortgage?
ARCmortgage.com.
That simple?
It's that simple.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we're here at JCon, and I'm catching up with Eitan Riefman.
Riefman.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. And you're at Brands Payroll. Brands Payroll. Yeah. Could you share something, a great tip, or even an interesting story, something in a minute or less that the listeners of Mind Your Business will be inspired from? They'll say, wow, Eitan shared something. That's just brilliant.
When it comes to modern marketing, I think the important thing is to stop looking at social media like it's the boogeyman. Listen, I get it. Social media is very cringe, but when you separate the personality part of it, if you get it past that and think of it from a business perspective, it's literally the best tool that's available for any business. It's not a nice to have. It's basically a must have. You need to be doing video marketing, all kinds of, it's a free tool. You can post, posting is free, and the algorithm is working in your favor to give your value to people.
Eitan knows it.
Thank you so much.
You were fantastic. And now I'm catching up with Baruch Goldklang from Supreme Talent. Shalom Aleichem. Okay. So tell us first a little bit about your business, and then I'm going to put you on the spot.
So we are a recruiting agency, placing candidates in companies, quality candidates, trying to be very thorough, very precise, understanding our client needs. We meet with every client in person, understanding their business culture and the employee type of what they have. Like this, we have a better understanding how to find and search for this candidate.
Okay, but now I need to ask you, share a good tip, something they say, wow, that's mama's great advice.
So that question varies, depends if the candidate is more on an entry side or he's more experienced. What I could do for the entry side candidates to be focused what they're looking for in long term, so they can build their career, versus some candidates, they start one way and then they come, they see it's not for them, they're trying to switch. And a company asks, so what is your experience in the industry? And they say, so try to be focused what you're looking at.
Very smart advice, meaning look, Royce and Neulad, this is not just like hop plop. Okay, you know, right now, this, I'm just looking at a stepping stone. What's your long-term picture?
Right, exactly. What's your long-term picture? So you could build your career in that specific route.
Great advice. Hasul Haraba. It's really, the food was good, right? Let's go into the kitchen. Mayor. Where's Mayor? Mayor. Mayor. Thank you. The food is delicious.
Amazing.
Talk about what goes into something like this. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot, but it's, we came hungry and we leave happy. I know there may be a quote, but yeah.
No, there's a lot that goes into it. I'm more of a
You're very humble. Planner, come on.
Event planner, so I'm pulling stuff together from different sources, different places, bringing it all into one place.
How do you always ace it that the food is delicious?
That's what it is. I show up food from all different sources. So when you're able to pick A from here and A from here and A from here, you put it together, you have an A-plus event.
Mayor, that's you're the best. Mayor Whiteman. Thank you. Yes, and I'm catching up now with Sruli Pesach. Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
What's the name of your company?
Propaganda.
Propaganda. We're going to guess what you do. Now, Sruli, what is a good tip that Sruli could share? They're like, wow, this guy is gewaldig.
Number one thing is that we're at a networking event. About networking, I chase relationships. I save numbers. Another status viewer, I remember what they do. I've sent people referrals, and I've gotten so many referrals just from relationships I've built at shows. Do not chase a deal. If you come to a show, you could walk away with a deal. I have a few people, very, very hot leads already. But remember that it's all about knowing someone. It's all about the relationship and really getting to know the people.
Shkoyach, really. Hatzlocha rava.
Thank you.
All right, and now I'm catching up with Jeriel Nunez. Jeriel, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Okay, so what brings you here to JCon?
Right, so I'm a founder and lead photographer for Silent Shutters Photography LLC, the one-stop shop for all things luxury real estate media. So we're out here just offering some of our real estate media services, floor plans, aerials, photos, videos.
Very cool, very cool. Can I ask you, like, what's the, I guess, the tallest building? You weren't up on top of the Empire State
Building.
That wasn't you, right?
They had masks, so you never really know.
Okay, so what was the scariest project you ever did? And say, hey guys, if you have a project like that, think of us.
Sure. I think my best project I would have to say was there's a property up on the Upper West, or on the Upper Manhattan, that was around 40 floors, and they had me actually going onto the roof to take some aerials and some and some.
Does your mom know about this?
My mother is very unsupportive of the. Of the
no wonder.
But listen, we're getting very good imagery, and it's just something that I enjoy to do.
Very cool. What's your website? How can people find out about you?
Yes, sir. So if you go to silentshuttersphotography.org/real estate, you'll go ahead and see all of my work. And you know, we service everybody: brokers, agents, architects, developers. Everybody. So if you need real estate media services, please feel free to hit us up and we'd be more than happy to help.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Take care. All right. It's good catching up with the Marine Park, Hevra. Steven Weinstock. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your business, your website, and what do you do?
WeCapitalX.com. Company name is WeCapital. I own some multifamily. Operate out of Louisville, Kentucky, Cleveland, Ohio, and some parts of New Jersey.
All right, so tell, you know, bring some perspective to what you do day in and day out. How do you stay out of trouble?
Day in, day out, a lot of my time is spent on property management, a necessary evil in my business, but I do in-house management on some of these assets. Takes up a lot of my time, a lot more than I want, but it takes up, it's a necessary evil, like I said.
So 1 second, it does keep you out of trouble?
Little by little.
Talk about Cleveland a little bit. There's like a renaissance over there.
Definitely in the High Michigan, the film community is growing. I was there in high school, so I used to go to Cleveland Heights a lot for Shabbos. And I see over the last 7-8 years, it's growing. It seems like a lake with Hevra, a lake with vibe is going. You have these young 30-year-olds coming with 3 or 4 kids. They need fish boards for Shabbos. They need a doubleheader for the stores. So you have a lot of stores and a lot of action happening over there.
Steven Weinstock, Hatzlacha Rabba.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now we're catching up with one of the veterans in the industry. Not saying you're old. It's just one of the veterans in the industry. Mrs. Shayna Karen, no stranger to Mind Your Business. You've been on Mind Your Business in the past. And how you doing?
Amazing. Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. So share something, what you're seeing out there, and a great tip that people are like, you know what? They're going to see this on LinkedIn. They're going to see it on YouTube. I'm so glad Mrs. Karen shared this.
Okay. So I'm going to say something that's like going to make me sound like the anti-career career coach. But here's what I have to say about career. People call me when they have a career question, but really it's a life question. And I could pretend it's about career and I can help you solve your career. But we're never going to talk only about your career, because the right career is the one that fits your life, your relationships, your income needs, where you want to live, the stage that you are in your family, and everything else. So I would say that when you're trying to make a career decision, don't pretend that career is the only or the most important part of your life.
All right. Now, question. I'm sure you get this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it. Colby, Myers-Briggs, love it, hate it. What's your take on the assessments?
Yeah, any personal development, I would say. Anything that you can learn more about yourself. I mean, we're so simple, but we're also so complicated. And I think that there's no test that I would say is not worth your time. Any level of self-awareness, as long as you're going to put it to use, is going to be very helpful and is going to make you more successful, more happy, and more money.
Incredible. By the way, just something I found fascinating recently. The Chavos Avovis has a part that says that you should go into a business or something that really speaks to you, something that connects with you. And I was fascinated to find that in the Sefer.
Shaar Bitachon, it says it straight up. My job is like, literally tells you the whole instructions. If you're this kind of person, do this kind of job. If you're this kind of person. And I tell people, go look it up yourself. You don't need my help. So look it up. Absolutely.
And again, how can people get in touch with you?
Thank you. It's my website, shaynakaren.com, or LinkedIn. Message me and I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Hatzlacha Rabba. And I'm standing here with Shimon Ron Levy of Global Pest Control, another client of Bottom Line Marketing Group. Shimon, it's great to catch up with you.
Good to see you.
Here's the story. I'm going to ask you to share a tip with the listeners of Mind Your Business.
I've been in sales since I'm 20. And if there's one thing I learned, you're selling yourself. If the customer doesn't believe in you, doesn't see that you believe in yourself.
Well, 1 second. Well, what do you sell? What do you do? I understand it, but what do you do?
We sell pest control services. Exterminating.
So you're selling yourself? What does that mean?
You're selling who you are, and the customer wants to deal with you because of what you can deliver to him and confidence that he has in
confidence
you.
And trust
in yourself.
You give your word, you show up.
Correct. You're there. He has someone to call and come to make sure that he gets what he needs.
Global Pest Control. What's your website?
GlobalExterminating.com.
Sei gesund.
Good to see you.
Really, you think he's up for an interview? I'm catching up with Heshi, Marine Parker, a Koyan from Marine Park. Now he says yes. Heshi, talk about what you do for an event like this.
All right. So we do bars for events. We do all kinds of cocktails that blends beautifully for events from 50 people to 300 to 500 people. Over here at this event, beautiful event we have over here today, has over 500 people. Lots of people enjoying the cocktails over here today. Non-stop moving over here. So I'm happy to pleasure doing this interview.
How can people get in touch with you? You have a website? Or?
So I have an Instagram on the Black Tie Mixology. Instagram, Black Tie Mixology. And all my information should be there. You can message me over there. And that's what it is.
Amazing. So 1 second. Cirilli, what do you want? He's got the good stuff. Heshi, Hasla Harava. And we're here at JKN. I'm catching up with Aaron Wiener. Aaron, how are you?
I'm amazing. Great to see you.
And the same year. Same here. I'm going to put you on the spot. You deal with a lot of different areas of real estate. Is it okay if I put you on the spot to share a good tip or a quick story? Something like, whoa, then they're going to say, "With Aaron, you're going to get people stopping on the street." You know what? Aaron, thank you for sharing that.
You got it. You ready?
Well, everyone's photobombing. Okay.
Oh, gosh. Wow. My tip is, recently we went down to our property and we spoke to most of the tenants. And usually when they do due diligence, they go down to the property, they speak to the employees. We went down, we spoke to the tenants, and there's a lot of delinquency in this property. Mm. We asked the tenants, why aren't you paying? So he said, well, if they fix my air conditioner, I would pay. The next person, she said, I have my check ready, it's sitting in my desk. They never asked me for the rent. The next person asked, she's like, well, everyone else is not paying, why should I pay?
Communication.
Well, that's a very good tip for due diligence. A lot of people, they don't actually speak to the tenants. Going down to the tenants, you could really learn so much more information. And that is including, you'll learn more about all the maintenance issues, which the owner's not going to tell you about. You're going to hear more about what the complaints, what other issues are. Yeah. You'll know the best about the competition from the tenants.
He's saying have real communication.
Communication is always key. And talking about communication, right now, the real estate market is going through a big reset, and there's a lot of defaulted loans. What's extremely important, which everyone has to know, is to communicate with their bank. Communicate with them earlier, because I work with a lot of defaulted with distressed assets, and I work with the receiver end. They're like, you know, if they would have communicated earlier. Mm. Same thing with receiver. This is a
Communication.
You bet.
Aaron, it's great catching up with you. Hatzlacha.
Thank you so much. I'm Maine. Thank you. Great seeing
Excellent.
You.
JCon, Aaron Staten Island. I'm catching up with Daniel Greenberg. Shalom Aleichem.
How are you?
Shalom Aleichem. Tell us a little bit about what you do and your website, and then I'm going to have a surprise question.
Okay. www.usvirtualguard.com. We do building security. We watch buildings for property damage, vandalism, break-ins. Any type of loss that the building might have, we're watching 24/7, preventing all of these damages.
Now, you probably have some crazy stories. We're not going to ask anything sensitive here, but maybe share a story that like, whoa, it's a good thing they were protected.
Okay, so we had just not that long ago in the wintertime, we had a shul in the Flatbush area that was under surveillance, and it was a cold winter night, and a couple of bums came and tried to basically start a fire, which would have burnt the whole shul down. And we were able to get local responders on site immediately, get the fire out, get rid of the guy, got him the help he needs. And that's the way we protect communities.
First of all, Yeshikayach. And what's incredible is that there's surveillance, but it's not just like, okay, after the fact, the insurance adjusters will deal with it. No, apparently it's proactive. Talk about that.
We watch the cameras as if you have a security guard on site. We talk down on a horn system. 80% of the crimes could be avoided by scaring the people.
Wow, you mean literally the guy's there and you're like, I'm watching you.
Yeah, and they know that it's a lot because
it's no joke.
We describe them down to their shirt and pants. They know that someone's watching and then they tell them.
I see you in the cap.
law enforcement's on the way, and generally 80% of the time they run away, but otherwise we do call law enforcement.
Wow.
And we get rid of the perpetrators.
Wow. Hatzlacha. All right, this is something that's really cool. Last year had a giveaway at the booth, and now Baruch is going to share with us.
This is an amazing thing, an amazing giveaway. This is a key, it's a keychain, but it's a whistle and a light as well. If Chas v'Shalom, you get caught in a snowdrift, or anywhere, you're just lost in the forest anywhere, you have your car keys, you have a whistle.
We got this. Really, you got that on, Mike?
Another safety thing to have on your car keys, that U.S. Virtual Guard, always keeping you safe, even that.
U.S. Virtual Guard. Yashikayach.
Okay, looking forward to next year at JCOM.
That's right. All right, now I'm catching up with I'm not going to say a good old friend, because it sounds like you're old. You're not old. But a good friend for a very long time, Rabbi Yonason Mahler. Rabbi Yonason, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. I'm very proud to be called a friend of Yitzchak. And congratulate him in person on your new book.
Something that
it's not new anymore. I'm sure you're on your next book. But I remember how you always talked about being a Talmud Muvik of Meir Zlatowitz. So I'm sure that was something that inspired you to write and to take the initiative. And I see that our scroll actually took you in as family. And I'm very excited for you. Both your show that you have and the beautiful company and the
Rabbi
amazing
Yonason,
people.
Rabbi Yonason, first of all, I'm blushing. I'm blushing. Shkoyach. But now, Rabbi Yonason, Bottom Line Marketing Group has the honor, the schus of working closely with you. Share a minute. Talk about what you do.
So I've been in advertising for over 20 years of my life. And a lot of it was, I would say, I don't even know if a year went by being in advertising without interacting with Bottom Line.
Emes.
The integrity, the menschlichkeit.
We want it to be about you.
And a lot of the people I know.
By the way, this is typical of Rabbi Yonason.
Many, many years. I mean, actually, I even know one of your designers from before. I was married, Mr. Gerber. And what should I tell you? It's really an honor. And I became part of your family. We shared simchas together.
Yashikayach. Now, just getting a quick word about what you do. How can people get in touch with you? What you do? You provide great services. Bottom Line Marketing Group uses you.
So what I do is I help various, whether it's organizations, companies, anyone, get the word out there. I have connections to unique channels of media. Some of it's social media, some of it's simple publications.
Yeah.
But Bottom Line is very experienced, but they're very. It's a large operation, and sometimes when they're dealing with a unique client, they want to get into the nitty gritty small parts of the community, and I help advise them and guide them.
You want to give a website?
I could always be reached at either bx24.biz or my email address. The best is to reach me at bx24.biz@gmail.com.
Rabbi Yonason, it was great catching up with you.
Thank you.
Yes, you can. Now, Rav Shia, we have, I'm going to need to catch up with you to hear so many different ideas because, you have your hand in a lot of things. Baruch Hashem, you're doing so much for Klal Yisrael. But maybe you can just share 2-3 minutes now while there's hundreds of people here, the vibe. How did you get all these people to come out?
Thank you. It is a pleasure to see you and have you host the JCon 9th Annual Real Estate Event. It's a beautiful event. And the reason that it's beautiful is because...
Not just the food.
It's not only the food.
Oh, shout out to Whiteman. Mayor, you're the best.
Thank you. So it's not only the food, but at the end of the day, what you see here is 750 people getting together because the concept is people do business with people.
Yeah.
You don't just do business on Zoom or sending an email.
Or AI.
When you come here, you break bread, literally, and you have a good time and you schmooze in a great atmosphere. We're at the Hilton Hotel in Staten Island. You just get to meet people. And if you try to sell them, they're not interested. But if you become their friend, then they're interested because you care about what they have to say. So the key over here is to meet people and become their friend and understand, try to be an added value to them, begin a relationship, and then you'll see how this will take you from 0 to 100. But if you take a look around me, it's amazing vibe, it's amazing people, and it's just hungry people who want to do well.
I just want to share one of the best tips that we ever had on Mind Your Business came from you, and people stop me all the time. They're like, if you're starting out your career, go work for someone for a year. That is your Harvard. Remember you said that?
Right.
That is your Harvard. People, so many people are like, you know, he's right. What a great advice. You want to share? We're going to stop you a little later, but just maybe even now, anything else comes to mind?
I'm just very thankful that we have a great team and we have great people that stand behind us. Our sponsors are fantastic. Right. And I think there's something interesting to note that people don't know. J-Con, besides for the front end bringing so many hundreds of people together to network and make money from doing business together, all the profits that come in from this event goes to help the back end, which is to help over 2,000 people a year get free courses, resume writing, jobs.
That is so special.
So when you come here, not only are you helping yourself, but you're also helping the people that are starting out.
Very, very special. Rabshia,
thank you.
Your mom is, you're one of a kind.
Thank you.
You are one of a kind.
And
we will catch up. You'll make sure.
Shirley Saft, behind the camera.
Goyach. We're going to catch up.
Yes.
Amazing. All right. For my next guest, this guy needs no introduction.
Good to be with Yitzhak Safa. He's really such a powerhouse.
Thank
in
you.
Marketing
thank you.
And media. We miss him on the radio. That's the only
thank
thing
you, Zev.
Only
thank
complaint.
You. Now, Zev, you know, the one that has the mic wins. Should I let go of the mic and hand it to you?
Absolutely.
All right.
You
Zev,
you
Zev. By the way,
Zev
is one of the founders, you know, the pillars of the industry of Jewish media for so many years. We, Baruch Hashem, have had times we've been able to work together. And Zev is just one of those people who knows radio, knows media. Talk a little bit about it. And I'm handing you the mic. Yes, I am letting go.
So I'll tell you what it's
after all, it's Zev Brenner.
Well, first of all, yes, did a very popular radio show. We miss him. We're going to bring him back. And I'll tell you the hard, cold fact, or you're a guy who likes the facts. There are 5 million podcasts worldwide. 50% of all podcasts get 30 views. Another 25, we get 125. The Wall Street Journal said 1 out of 3 podcasts fails. So people think, oh, new. And we do podcasting too. We have 2.9 million views on our YouTube site and 29 million impressions. But radio is still out there. About 80 to 90% listen every day. And it's a powerhouse. So people need to do today a combination, the new media, the old media.
Now, could we add that one of the benefits of real radio is the credibility factor? Because, you know, to become a podcast, you snap your finger. To get on radio, you have to have really a great brand, a great story, great content.
And you also have to have discipline, because the reason why a lot of podcasts fail is one week they do an hour show. The next week they skip, then they come back with a half hour show, and they come back a 15 minute show. And that's why radio, there's a consistency and stability, and there's a credibility. Also, it's local. What sells radio in a place like New York is local. So we can reach out to listeners in Borough Park or Flatbush or Five Towns or Westchester, but it's a local message that we deliver. When you're on the internet, it gets a little diluted. So we do both. You got to do everything today. It's not one size fits all.
So TalkLine, again, how can people find out more? What's the website?
You can watch us at TalkLineNetwork.com. Follow Zev Brenner on YouTube. We have all the information there, and we look forward to seeing you on the radio, seeing you on YouTube, see you on social media, and of course, make sure you listen to this fellow. It's a set. Does a great job.
You. And remember that line: "See you on the radio."
That's right.
Zev is great catching up.
They say we both have a face for radio.
Thanks, Zev. But if it's from you, it's you know, then it's okay. I'll take it.
No, it's great. I have a face for radio too. Don't worry.
It's really, you got that on camera? Don't cut it. It's not a blooper. Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing on LinkedIn the other social media.
Yes, Bezrat Hashem. Take care, Zev. And now I'm catching up with Rav Shimon Weiser. Rav Shimon, Shalom Aleichem.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So tell us, you used to listen to Mind Your Business, I'm allowed to ask,
yeah,
77 WABC?
Oh, yeah, I used to listen to your show many years ago, and I'm upset. That I can't hear you on live.
Shkoyach.
Okay, anyway, so
tell us a little bit about your company, right. And then we want to hear some
mamish story. Okay, my company specializes in returning assets that end up by the government. How assets end up by the government is by people who they move away from their house, and they're getting mail that goes back, like bank accounts, statements, financial things, assets. I guess the law is it's got to go. It goes to the government. Are we able to recover it? Most of our businesses deceive people, and people will lose money. They father.
So you probably have a great story of like a family didn't even realize they had millions, right. And they mamish.
So one of the things is we We help them the whole process. Although people may know they have lost assets, but we help them in the process. Lately, I have two stories.
Please share.
Very interesting stories. A lady who was now around 70 years of age. Her mother bought her a stock 50, 60 years ago. No social security number. And it was going to a brother-in-law's address. And it's impossible to get the money. We worked for 2 years, and we've been able to show that they're connected to this asset, and hopefully, when we return, it'll be like around $70,000.
Wow. Great. Okay, that's one story.
One story. We also had a story. We had somebody who moved to Israel years ago, and is still elderly, didn't marry. Okay. And we reached out to, we found money here with his father in Flatbush. We have to locate him, and we told him he has assets. And interesting, we had to notarize all these documents.
Right.
And Mamash didn't have the money to pay for the notary. And then we got it done. We bought him $60,000.
Wow. Mamash found the money.
Found money. But basically, money. Many situation is a person dies, has small money in the bank, 40, 30, 40,000. That will take a lawyer.
Amazing.
We do all the work. We go to court. We work in a commission. We don't work in a fee. So my company, wow. US Asset Finder, 718-782-4000.
And the website?
usassetfinders.com.
Now, let me ask you a question. So could you, like, Zuta Shalyam, you could maybe get back also Zuta Shalyam, you know, like?
Anybody who has any kind of money, you can't get to, it's hard to get, parents, grandparents.
They should give Shimon a call.
Give us a call, usassetfinders.com. We are registered a Better Business Bureau. All the best. Thank you.
Kultur Rav Shimon. All right. And now we're catching up with Rabbi Yoel Sander. Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what do you do? What's your company?
So my company name is the Pinnacle Abstract Group. We do title insurance in New York, in New Jersey, residential, commercial.
Excellent. Share something. A good tip that people walk away and say, Rabbi Yoel shared something. Gewaldig.
I can tell you one thing, never take anything for face value. These days, there's AI, people can produce whatever paperwork they want and push you under in the last minute, operating agreements, and show their members of entities. You don't know what's true, what's not true. You really have to be diligent and have the experience to figure out what's true, what's not true, who's really the owner of the property. And that takes a lot of experience and diligence.
And so it's a little bit more complicated today because of AI.
Definitely. And that's why...
You have a good story?
We actually have a very good story with on this. We once had a file. We were pushing to close on a Friday afternoon. And it was almost about to close. And we were trying... diligently going through the paperwork. And
two
we noticed...
Two real attorneys were involved. And they all saw what was going on. But they didn't have that something is wrong.
Right. And we picked up, there was really the son, junior was a member, not the father. It was a total fraud. And we stopped the deal at the last moment and saved this person a lot of money.
Wow. Before I let you go, please share, what's the website of your company?
Pabstract.com. That's very simple. P for Pinnacle, abstract.com.
Hatzlocha
Rabba. Thank you very much.
Hatzlocha.
Thank you.
And now we're going to catch up with Mrs. Shifra Mendelowitz, Act 2 Interiors. You were on the show many moons ago.
Right.
Yes.
That's
and of course, right. warm regards to Isaac.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk about the world of interior design, the world of colors. What makes a room something so special? That is your specialty. I'm going to hand you the mic.
Interior design is the most exciting thing that I think anybody can do. It's really creating something from nothing. And what we do now is a lot of high-rise, multifamily, ground-up construction. And you literally see buildings going from the ground up, and your design is right there. And your design is what brings the tenants in, what sells the building. And when you see that building fill up and the developer cashing in on their investment and being so happy, that is everything we can ask.
All right, so let's hold on over here. There's building a new co-op, high rise. Okay, inside where people live, that's their domicile. It's got to be beautiful. How important is it that the vestibule, you walk into the building, the elevators, talk about that. Is that really so important?
You got to sell the building before they come into the door. So let's step back and start from the exterior of the building, the landscaping of the building, the lobby, the reception desk, the amenities, the gym, the TV room, the podcast room. Did you know that they have podcast rooms?
They have podcast rooms.
We're designing podcast room, like soundproof podcast room.
And great.
Co-working spaces. All these things just contribute to a wholesome building. And people love it. They love the amenities because it creates a community where they can not just go in and out of their apartment, but they can meet other people. A children's play area. They love that because the young mothers get to meet other people and it creates a community.
All right, Mrs. Mendelowitz, I want to ask one last question. Okay. Is there a project that comes to mind that when you met with the developers, they're like, you know, listen, you know, it's very nice what you're telling me, but like, what's the big deal? It's all about price, whatever it is. Meanwhile, they hired you. And then in the end, they said, Mrs. Mendelowitz, we can't thank you enough. We are so excited. And we're so happy that we didn't listen to ourselves and we listened to you.
Do I get to talk only about one? Because I have...
Okay.
I have many. No, okay. I'm going to talk to you about one. There is a development in North Miami that was targeted for the Jewish community, for Frum people.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of doubts because it was a renovation and it didn't fit exactly the profile that they wanted to service.
Okay.
We took that property, we redesigned it completely. We even built a small mikveh there for them. We took one swimming pool. They said to me, how are you going to make two separate pools out of this? Like, it's only one pool and it's not big. Guess what? We did two full-size pools from one pool. So there's a lot of stretching and tricks and miracles that we can do.
And in the end?
And in the end, that property, 95% is sold.
Wow.
Pre-construction.
Pre-construction.
Just from the rendering of how the apartments look. So when you understand the client and you know what they want and you have enough knowledge to create it for them, it sells.
Now, by the way, anyone that follows you on LinkedIn knows something. You love what you do. You love what you do.
It's a stressful business. It could be. And if you don't love it, you have no business being in it.
You're not just doing it for the money. You love creating things.
I love to make money for other people. Yeah.
Beautiful. Hatzlacha Rava.
Thank you.
All right. Now we're in the VIP room at the JCon conference. Earlier on the show, you saw I caught up with Rav Shea Rubenstein, who's the brain behind JCon from day one. Now I have the opportunity to catch up with Shea and ask him a number of questions because, I mean, 750 people were here for a reason. They got tremendous value out of it, out of this real estate conference. Rav Shea, I hope it's okay that I could ask you anything.
Love that, because that's the reason we're here.
Tell us about your entrepreneur. Now, I hope it's okay. It's going to be like rapid fire. Tell us about Kanai Nahar. Now you're building buildings. It's a doctor helping 2,000 people. What's your entrepreneurial journey?
Thank you. I love the work that you do. So a big shout out to the Saftless team at Bottom Line Design and Marketing. Not only are they good at what they do or amazing at what they do, but they're also professional at what they do. And it comes across authentically. So in terms of my journey, so I started by, after I got married and finished my schooling, I ended up starting a small business. And I had an epiphany after 2 years. I was doing light marketing and promotional products. And then I had the epiphany, how many people in this industry can make $1 million a year? And if the answer is that the top 2% make $1 million, then how difficult is it for me to become that top 2%? I need to choose, and this is really my advice for you out there, you need to choose, or I needed to choose an industry that even if I'm only from the top 50%, I can still make a very good living. So when I tell you certain industries like shoemaker, copies of keys,
you know that it's not necessarily, even though there may be a person who has dry cleaners who made a lot of money because they have multiple locations or corporate accounts, but when you want to seek a business or a job, try to find something that has a strong potential. When I tell you things like healthcare, real estate, nursing homes, you know that there's an option. So that's what got me started.
Now, Rav Shia, is an interesting question. If someone had $10,000 to get started, is there an answer like, what would you recommend them that they do with that? You know, and how would they invest that? What would you recommend that they get started in business with that 10K?
So I think that the money is extremely insignificant because $10,000 is not a lot of money to open and operate a business. And I don't think it's about the money. It's all about the mindset. Believe it or not, you can purchase hundreds of millions of dollars of real estate without a dollar. Yeah. So it's not about the money. I think that when you want to start a business, become good at something first. Get that first job. Make that your Harvard education, like we discussed in a previous podcast. Once you are good at something, you don't need college. You don't need anything else. You just need to be good at something, because if you come across in your communication as confidence and with poise, you just got to about 97% of what you need to succeed.
Rapid fire. What are three tips you have that an entrepreneur must be mindful of as they head into business?
So once again, I would say definitely learn a good skill from the best company in the field. So don't just, if let's say you want to work in the construction industry, don't just take a bargain basement type small one person man run show and learn from him, because you're not learning from the best. So tip number one is, learn from the best company, because they're going to teach you not only the business, but the process and the people and the place, and they're going to make you professional. Tip number two, speak with confidence, but with poise. That will get you 97% there. And tip number three is, be a man of your word, because ultimately when people see that they can rely on you, it's worth a lot of money. A lot of people say, oh, I have great customer service, I have great price. You're just telling people a story, but they don't really believe it. But that's what I would say.
Amazing. What habits, what traits separate a very successful entrepreneur from someone who's just not, doesn't get it?
So I think it depends on the industry, and there's a lot of factors. But if I have to say what separates an entrepreneur, besides for the confidence and knowing what they're talking about, I would say that entrepreneurs... I always tell my managers, treat your job as if you were the one spending $25,000 a month on the mortgage. So I think that's what it is. An entrepreneur comes with that energy and ownership. So if you treat your job like an ownership, if you treat your ownership like a real ownership, that's where it's going to come through.
Shia, let's talk about sales. How important is it for a small business that wants to scale to have a salesperson or a sales team?
As you start a small business, you're going to be the salesman. You're also going to be the secretary in filing. But the minute that you can, in your mind, understand, most small businesses have a syndrome. They think, oh, if I don't do it, it can't get done. If I don't do it, why should I explain to them? It should take me much less time to do it myself. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done right.
You can't delegate.
As long as you can't delegate and you have that mindset, you will never make it to the next level. The second you understand that Jeff Bezos does not pick up the phone calls and Warren Buffett does not run to the bank and Bill Gates does not enter everything into his QuickBooks, that's when you can mature. And getting a salesperson is the machine that's going to make you money. So you should do it. There are different ways of doing it. You want to give them some money to live, but you need to give them enough motivation without giving them that full salary. But you have to make sure with employees, you should teach them enough that they should be able to be your competition, but you should treat them well enough that they shouldn't want to be your competition.
Now, by the way, maybe on this note, you could share 2, 3, 5 sales tips for someone to be successful as a salesperson.
So I would say the most valuable tip is as follows. Here's what you should not do. You come to a JCon event, you come to an event, you come to a networking, a wedding. What's the first thing that a person does. This is what you should not do. They say, hi, good afternoon. My name is Josh. I work for a company called ABC Trading. We have the best price. We have the best customer service. We did a $300 million deal. We've been in business 20 years. The other person on the other line does not want to be sold to. They don't want to hear your stories because people are interested in themselves. This is what you should do. Hi, my name is Josh from ABC Trading. You look so familiar. What's your name? Oh, my name is Joe. Start with a compliment. I love your suit, by the way. Where is it from? Once you start with a compliment, they can't shake you off because you just made them feel good. Then you go on asking them about themselves. What do you do? What type of industry? Interesting, interesting. Whatever they tell you, just repeat the last three words back to them that they said so they subconsciously think you just heard them. After you gave them the compliment and you asked them and asked them, now this is the trick. If you're able to be an added value, like give them an idea, provide a solution to what they're telling you, like, I see that you do construction. Did you ever hear of this product or this loan product or this product that you purchase and put into the building or this tax abatement? So if you can provide an idea or a solution, that will captivate them because they see that you're not the guy pushing and selling, but rather the person adding value to their life, and they're becoming dependent or liking you depending on the scenario.
Now, I'm going to ask a tough one because in the world of sales, people deal with rejection. Right? How many no's does it take to get to a yes, right? How does someone, they get knocked down, they got to bounce back up and be successful? How do you deal with rejection?
That's a very good question. And the first answer is sales is not for everyone, because if you have that quiet, easy, soft, emotional personality and you can't deal with it, then don't do raw sales. There are other ways to do it. But at the end of the day, if you do sales, the reason that you're getting rejected is because it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Once you learn how to say it, your life will change and you will not be rejected a tenth amount of the time. Secondly, just know when you go into the sales business, know that I need to get 100 no's and then I will get my yes. I also need to know that I will not make any real money for the next 6 months until I build up this portfolio, this amount of no's, in order to become more seasoned. Because a lot of people jump in very energetic, right. And then they get very disheartened after 200 no's. But if you go into it managing your expectations, knowing that you're going to get 6 months of no money and you're going to get 6 months of 200 no's, then you're just counting down your no's. So it's really those things, two things together.
Right. It's literally like, building a tunnel. You know you're going to go through rock and rock. You're not going to see the other side for a long time. But it will happen. We just got to hang on. All right. Shia, this is just an important question that we're rapid fire going through stuff. How does a company assess how to be compensated for their services? Do they lowball? Do they... If they price too high, they're not getting customers. Talk about pricing of either a product or services.
So that's very good, because I am in the construction industry and I've been told, your price is too expensive. When I took a look at the competition's pricing, I noticed that they'll sometimes lowball to make themselves sound cheaper. So let's say I did construction. I could write supply and install air condition, or I can write install supplied air condition. There's a difference of $35,000 and that one word, right? I could write supply and install doors, or I can do install supply doors. And if you're not a professional, because we're building a custom home for you for $1 million, for $2 million, it's very easy not to catch. Wow. Because what happens when you get an estimate? You open the attachment and you just scroll down to the bottom. Right. You don't even check anything in the middle. So that's why a lot of people will try to give you a cheap price so they get the business and then they sell you later. So what I would say is don't try to be cheap, because if you're going to try to be cheap, then it's just a matter of money and commodity. So the minute you're going to be a dollar cheaper, you're out. What I would rather do is if somebody says you're expensive, I wouldn't fight them. I would say, you're right. I am more expensive, because it depends what you want. and maybe you can't afford me, but maybe I could actually help you if you don't mind. I'd love to go through the budget and see what's important to you and not. Like I said before, make it more of a relationship. Stop making it about dollars, because the minute you make it about the relationship and they trust you, I found that to have over 95% of my success closing rate.
Now, by the way, I mean, you really leaned into this, but just I'm going to, you know, talk about, because this is so fundamental. People deal with people that they could trust. Now, you shared a very important point about leaning in. If someone questions you on a proposal and you say, you know, your price is high, you know, it is, but let me explain. Instead of, no, I'm not, it's not even good business. And of course, it doesn't build trust. What's another tip or two to build trust from the outset?
I think, once again, if you hear the people and you respond to them, showing them that you hear them, that creates the trust. Instead of selling people, ask questions, try to be a solution. Once they feel that you're a solution to them, that's when they trust you. Of course, once you do business with them and they feel that you've been honest, you earned their business already and you'll continue to do so. But I think that's the barrier to entry.
Now, before you talked about Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, and you know, a self-managing company, so to speak, you know, so how does someone even have that mindset to get to the point where they could really build a company that could continue to grow and can continue to, you know, scale, but, you know, with the owner focusing on working on the business instead of in the business?
So as soon as your mindset changes that you have to do everything yourself and you start relying on people, that's number one. Number two, don't micromanage those people. Unfortunately, you have to allow them to slip and even make a mistake, even if it costs $10,000, because they're going to learn from that mistake. If they make the same mistake twice, maybe they need to be fired. But if you take people that are better than you in that specific area, and let them do their job. So a lot of people don't realize they follow up, they micromanage, they want emails, they want reports update. If you allow the person to do their job and they feel that sense of responsibility, they will perform. And again, you will know by watching them from far if they're performing or not, if they're meeting their mile markers, if their sales are where they need to be. And then if there is an issue, speak to them. If they see that you care, that will also carry them forward. So it's really about having the mindset that you're willing to become wealthy. I'm willing to delegate, I'm willing to trust, and that is really what's going to set this forward.
Shia, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this question, but this would be just, is it fair to ask you if you could share what's the worst business decision you've ever made and what lesson you learned from it?
The best decision was that I married my wife.
Okay, good.
The worst business decision, I think that I was all of 26 years old and I thought I had real estate figured out and I leveraged the trust of banks to the tens of millions of dollars to build too many projects at the same time. So it was very hard to be focused. And because of that, it took me a few years to be able to put the genie back into the bottle. So thank God everything ultimately worked out, but it was a tough few years. And I learned from there, never bite off more than you could chew. And again, I was all of 26. So I unfortunately learned from my own mistakes, but thank God, at least it was an expensive lesson, but it was valuable.
It is incredible. If it's okay, I have three more questions. Yeah. One is, and it really ties into this event. We're here in Staten Island, JCon 26. This is your ninth, right? Unbelievable. You know, networking, right? Reuven goes to Shimon, they're talking, and it starts. And then I would imagine that there are people here that met tonight that did millions of dollars of business of someone they met 2 years ago, 5, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it is. Talk about the role of networking, especially in today's world where there's emails and there's WhatsApps, and I'll see you on Zoom. But like, talk about showing up to an event.
100%. You can email your wife or you can come home at night. What's the difference? The difference is that human connection. Just going back to people, do business with people. So ultimately, people get inundated with emails and WhatsApp and Instagram message and PMs and TikToks and WhatsApp. We just have so many devices and so many apps to do so many things. We're on our phone on an average of 2 to 4 to 6 hours a day because we're working on a computer. Maybe it's even 10 hours a day. So ultimately, we crave human connection. And that's real connection because ultimately, when a person sends you an email and you have a lot of emails, you're ignoring. So A, because you're on the computer so much that you don't value that email and you think that it's spam and that it was randomly sent, and there's no human connection, plus the fact that we crave human connection. And when you meet people and you break bread, if you will, it was a great meal tonight.
Delicious.
You break bread with them and you speak to them. And if you follow the advice that I mentioned earlier, where you become their friend instead of trying to sell them, that human connection with confidence and with poise starts building and they trust you. And then people purchase from people.
By the way, in the comment section below, I'm going to ask, vote on who you felt the best interview with, because we interviewed Mayor Whiteman. We chased him into the kitchen. Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. Okay, second to the last question. And this is especially for the entrepreneurs out there. How does someone raise capital when they're getting started?
So it depends which business that you are referring to. The easiest business to raise capital would be real estate because it's based on a real asset that is in the ground. So we call it OPM, other people's money, because when you buy you buy a piece of real estate for $10 million, the bank will give you 70 or 80%, depending on the type of real estate and the type. So out of $10 million, you have already $7.5 million. Mm. So now you need $2.5 million. And you go to a professional for $1,000 or $2,000, they can put together a beautiful presentation. And if the money supports, the proof is in the pudding. So going to Mr. Joe and say, I need $2.5 million. If you give it to me, this is what it supports. And I will give you X percent ownership of the deal, which varies. That's the easiest. Like this, you put in almost no money or no money, and you can still get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%, depending on the deal, how creative. When it comes to trying to raise money for business, I think you have to, again, be creative. It's not about putting stuff on a spreadsheet. It's your confidence and poise and understanding that will take you to the first 95%. And you have to make the person believe emotionally that what they're doing is good. It could be good for them as a return. It could be they will not make a penny, but it's good emotionally because they love Israel, or they love children, or right. They love, so they attach themselves. It's an emotional purchase, right? Like I saw someone who purchased a $5 million summer home and he uses it only 2 months a year. And I said, but you could be in the Ritz-Carlton for much cheaper. It's an emotional purchase. It's not about the money. So even though it's $5 million plus it's $200,000 to run per year, and it doesn't make sense because you could rent in Lake Como and you could be in the Hamptons for much cheaper, it's an emotional purchase. So when you try to raise money, either appeal to being confident and having a good business plan, or appeal, it's called choose your angle, or make the angle about hitting on their emotion. Because even though it won't make money, they don't care if it does or it doesn't. So you're hoping it's going to make money, but even if it doesn't make money, they're happy to support that cause.
Rabshi, I don't know how we could end this because we're on such a great roll over here sharing such great advice. But with that, what's a single tip? A single great strategic tip, advice you've learned over the years that say, you know, as we end this show, I got to share this one. People are going to stop me and say, Shia, thank you so much for sharing this.
That's a very good question. What's a tip that I could share? I think I would say, again, it's about the people, not about the product. Mm. I think that people do business with people. I think that people love kind people. I think when you speak to people, show them that you really care instead of faking it. And ultimately, if people see the authenticity, they'll continue to do business with you. the most important tip in business is find your angle. It's not A plus B equals C. It's never A plus A. You don't buy real estate because someone else bought it. You don't buy real estate because, oh, I could buy it for A and sell it for B. If not, every single person in the world who does real estate and has a few dollars would just buy anything. You have to create an angle. Sometimes I purchased a property in a not such a good neighborhood where the price per square foot was leasing for, let's say, $35. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to figure out, how do I make money? I could do what everyone else is doing. I waited for an anchor tenant, and then I made the most beautiful building in the worst neighborhood. So the few people that want to have that presence are paying me $53 a foot. So create the angle. So just to erase everything else that I said until now, the best business tip, create the angle. Don't erase it, but this is the key.
Reb Shea, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you at this incredible event. I by the way, wait till you see, you're a busy guy tonight. Wait till you see the array of interviews that we hosted here. Of course, as all those that are watching it, place your notes in the comment section below so Shea could look at it. First of all, he could have nachas from what he put together tonight. And then also, he'll look at it and see if Chas V'Shalom, we're not in Eretz Yisrael next year, and then there'll be a J-Con 10. He'll see. Shea is one of these guys, as you heard and saw. He listens. I know Shea for many, many years. He listens. He cares. He wants feedback because he wants to get better and better. Shea, tremendous yishkeich.
Thank you so much. An honor and a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine.
To everyone who attended tonight, and if you didn't attend, we truly look forward to being part of it.
In Yerushalayim
or at the J-Con number 10.
Thank you for joining me on this edition of Mind Your Business. Please subscribe to the channel so you'll automatically be informed when the next episode goes live. See you in the next episode.